and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 151 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined across the interweb by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Hello.
And Jacob Alka.
Hey there, you gorgeous, gorgeous boys.
Wow. You know what kind of sucks about doing this over Skype sometimes is that there's always going to be an extra delay in between our responses to each other, and it makes it a little awkward.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I try to fake it, and when I edit the podcast, I actually edit all of our responses to be a little closer together.
Really? That sounds like a lot of work.
You'd be surprised, not all of them, but like especially the beginning, because you'd be surprised at how long of a pause there is in our intros when we're Skyping. It'll be like, so guys, how or Jacob, how was your day? And like 10 seconds will go by, and Jacob will be like, oh, it was pretty good.
I'm sorry. I took an additional like dramatic pause after I asked you how you were doing. So
it's okay. I noticed
that's
that
my fault. Yeah.
I noticed that one, but it's fine though. I'm glad that we can even communicate at all. It's a miracle this podcast has survived as long as it has. And I cherish every moment we spend together, whether in person or on the internet.
Sometimes it's the only time we get to spend together.
Yeah, it's quite sad.
Except
quite
this sad. Week, me and Garrett saw a couple movies together.
We did see a couple. That's weird. I think that's the most we've hung out in a week, probably since high school.
Probably. It's been a long weird. Time.
And me and Jacob were actually being friends, aside
and most
from being
of it was
colleagues.
In silence.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was weird. How
what
was your
you
week, Preston?
It sucked. I just worked the whole time. I got hardly any video game time whatsoever. Then yesterday, I finally have a Saturday off, and I have to go to my sister has to graduate from nursing school, something stupid like that.
God,
so I have to go watch her.
Lame. That's super
I know,
lame.
So lame. So I like had to go to her graduation thing and like pretend to care and stuff, so super lame.
I can relate, man.
Yeah, I'm like sitting there like, God, why am I not playing God of War right now? I gotta watch these like losers graduate college, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Super dumb, but anyways, yeah, that's what I had to do this week.
That's cool. I also worked nonstop, with the exception of dipping out to see Infinity War with Jacob and Black Panther after a school day I had. So Jacob and I saw Black Panther. What day was that?
That was a Monday.
Yeah, we saw Black Panther Monday because Jacob hadn't seen it yet. And then we saw Infinity War Friday morning, which we'll talk about here in a little bit.
And on top of that, I watched Thor 3 Ragnarok between the two movies.
Excellent. Yeah, it's good
so
you squeezed that
I've been
in.
Filled with, you know, Marvel this week.
Right.
And on top of that, Norse mythology with God of War, which
right.
goes hand in hand with Thor Ragnarok.
It does,
kind
yeah.
of. So a lot of good entertainment for me this week.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little bummed. I thought I was going to be able to watch Ragnarok last night, but instead, me and the old wife went rug shopping. So, ugh,
man, talk yeah. about lame. Holy crap. You've had a lame week, dude.
I know. So we got back too late.
Like,
and
you got drapes, carpet. What else is boring to shop for? Plates.
Mostly everything's boring to shop for except video games and sometimes clothes.
That's a good point.
That's pretty much it.
I'm just going to, like, instead of like couches in my house, I'm just going to have stacks of video game cases that people mm-hmm. can sit on.
That's a good idea.
Preston, you're going to have to did you read up on Thor at all?
I watched a like 18 minute video kind of prepping for Infinity War. So I think I have a very vague idea of what happened in Ragnarok, Doctor Strange.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man.
So,
that's a shame.
It's a good movie.
It's very good.
I will watch it inevitably in my life at some point. At least I think so. But based on the video I watched, I think I should be able to somewhat understand what's going on. In Infinity
so you should
War.
Be caught up on Black Panther too then, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right,
yep.
cool.
And by caught up, I mean like a 30-second synopsis of pretty much what happened in the ending of that. So
excellent.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'm good. I'll figure stuff out.
Okay.
So what's next?
I don't know. What is there to even talk about?
There's so to talk about what we played this week.
I guess I didn't play anything. I didn't touch a video game.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
I dabbed.
I
tickled. I fiddled.
Oh yeah, that
video
stupid
game.
Piece of crap. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
What are you talking about?
Stupid Harry Potter Hogwarts mystery.
What do you
pissed
mean?
Pissed me off so much, man.
Is it bad?
It's not bad. We'll just go
into
it.
It's not good.
Jake and I have started playing Hogwarts Mystery. I was all excited to jump into it. Even though I know it was a mobile game, I knew it was going to be very dumbed down. But it is essentially exactly what you and I have always fantasized about, Preston, where you create a character, you go to Diagon Alley, you have your letter from Hogwarts, you shop around. But again, it's very dumbed down. There are also dialogue options that you think are going to play into you being selected or placed into a certain house.
Yeah.
But you make decisions all along the way through Diagon Alley. You go to Ollivander's, and you go to the bookstore, blah, 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 blah. You meet a couple people along the way. You make it to Hogwarts, and you get to the Sorting Hat, and it lets you choose your house, which I like. You know, you have to have that Harry Potter trope where Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is like, not Slytherin, not Slytherin. The house kind of lets him tell him what he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad they have that trope, but I still wish they would force you into the house they think you belong in based on the decisions you've made leading up to that point. But again, like I said, it's a mobile game, so it's going to be whatever these little kids want.
I kind of wish it like did that at first, then like if you really didn't like your choice, you could change it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be a good option.
But I went with Ravenclaw. Jacob went with Hufflepuff.
I didn't.
I went with Ravenclaw because I feel like I knew the least about Ravenclaw. And naturally, of course, there's the part of me that really wanted to go to Gryffindor because that's classic and I love Gryffindor. But I knew so much about it. I'm like, I want to see another part of Hogwarts. I'll go Ravenclaw. So it was pretty cool.
That's the thing, though. Like, I question if anything's any different. Like, is it just like, oh, everyone's wearing different robes?
Yeah, and like
the common room looks the same.
Rooms like have different skins. I think Gryffindor's would probably look like the one from the movie, I would assume. But and Slytherin, I'm sure, is in the dungeon like it's supposed to be. I'm sure they're all a little different. You and I can compare Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw's common rooms if we want later, but. Long story short, you go to your classes. The mechanics of the game are really stupid. It's just tapping your screen to learn stuff.
You spend energy to do actions.
Your currencies are like energy and gold and whatever they call them, galleons or whatever in Harry Potter and one other thing.
Gems.
And the energy is what you spend to learn and like gain experience of the game. When it tells you just to tap rapidly on your screen, all these things light up and you just tap them. It's very stupid and boring, but I'm like, whatever, it's Harry Potter, I'll get over it. So I go to my first charms class with Professor Flitwick, who happens to be the head of Ravenclaw's house, which I was unaware of. Do that. I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool. And I learned Lumos. And then I moved on to potions and had an interaction with a Slytherin student who was...
Wait, that little man is the Ravenclaw guy?
Professor Flitwick.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I go to potions, you deal with Snape and another Slytherin student. I'm like, oh, this is great, whatever.
I'm pretty sure Sprout is the Hufflepuff. Professor Sprout.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I cannot breathe through my nose, dude. I'm so depressed. Long story short, you end up being tricked by the Slytherin student going into this room in the middle of the night that's filled with Devil's Snare.
Mm-hmm.
You get caught in it.
She tricked me, too.
I'm like, oh, cool. So you start tapping away at Devil's Snare, and all of a sudden the game's like, oh! You're out of energy. I was like, oh no. Great. This is when it hit me like I hit a brick wall where I remember this is a mobile game.
Yep.
I'm like, oh no, don't tell me. So I go to click on it. And it's like, you have options. Spend $5 for this much, $10 for this much, $20 for this much. I was like, fuck you. I was fucking furious when this popped up, dude.
Not even 30 minutes into the game.
Yeah, it was the most blatant, unshameful act of microtransactions I've ever experienced in my life. Now, granted, this is coming from someone who rarely plays mobile games, so maybe
there's a lot of games.
Maybe this happens to everyone who plays mobile games, but this is the first time I was like, I was actually offended by something for the first time in my life. I was like, holy. It's one because I was having a decent amount of fun and I was in the middle of my class at school where we do nothing. Yeah. So this was entertaining me for 2.5 hours while we accomplished nothing in this class.
Yeah.
And then this happens. I was like, I cannot believe this.
I can't continue my journey.
And so I just put it down. I was so pissed off. I was like, F this. I almost deleted it off my phone. I was so mad. But I left it alone. I went back 12 hours later. I still needed to pay for energy. And I was like, I hope this game burns in hell.
The problem is that you have a cap. And it doesn't let you exceed that cap. So you can't, like, store up
energy. I was so mad, dude. And I can't imagine how disappointed all these little kids who are playing this game on their iPads and stuff, how upset they're going to be. And they'd be like, Mommy, I need more energy. And I'm sure some parents would be like, all right, sure, here's $5 for more energy for your dumb Harry Potter game. But I'm sure a lot of people are going to be pissed off about that. And I was just so furious.
It's the thing, like the reviews on iTunes are all like 5-star.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Again, for what it is, if that part... ignoring that part, I'm like, this is fine for a mobile game for Harry Potter. This is a very, very dumbed down version of what Preston and I have always imagined. Mm-hmm. And I still keep my fingers crossed for an eventual AAA version of this because it has so much ungodly potential to be incredible.
I kind of just want to see where it goes, the story. I know it's not like much.
It was kind of cool. It's kind of intriguing because I don't want to, I mean, it's not, who cares? I mean, you're a student whose brother or something has disappeared years ago. And people are like, you're that kid's brother who just bailed. And
yeah, so everyone hates
a weirdo.
You.
So everyone kind of hates you for that reason. And I kind of want to find out what happened. It's kind of interesting, but those microtransactions, man, they really wronged me.
It's going to be a slow grind.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll check it out later today when I'm bored at work to see if I have enough energy built up after waiting 48 hours at this point to try it again.
Well, like I said, there's a cap. And I think you get one energy every like 3 minutes or something. So
that's ridiculous.
So you're probably at the max and you're
just
sitting there.
Just let the game be the game. And like we always say for these microtransactions, if people want to progress faster or have additional perks, just let them pay for it. Don't stop people from playing the game you've spent however long working on, because now I'm turned off to it completely.
Yeah.
Your work was in vain for me, at least. Not that it's all about me, but you've lost someone who would have been playing your game probably a decent bit, but they blew it. I feel like there is a model that everyone's kind of figured out for microtransactions, where they're appropriate and how they work best for both the creator and the consumer. And this was blatantly just the wrong way to do it. And I was very upset.
I pretty much echo all your thoughts.
But like you said, very charming. I like the art style.
The professors look great.
Yeah, the voice acting solid as well.
They don't really say much. Options. Like, it's all just dialogue based. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of make like grunting noises sometimes.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what's that game where, like like Banjo-Kazooie or even the ukulele recently, where they kind of make little squeaks and chirps as they talk.
Yeah, not like as extreme as that.
Yeah, not like animal sounds, but like human grunts.
It's like Snape standing there. He's like,
Rrr. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, real shame, but we'll see how that goes as they progress. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes.
So, game of the year.
Oh, exactly. Basically. Yeah. It's way better than God of War, man.
Oh, sounds
Speaking
like
Speaking of
it.
Which, I listened to Easy Ally spoiler review with Corey Barlog, like you told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually listened to it on the way home today, and I was dying to get back into God of War upon listening to it. Similar to when we were talking about, or when we were doing our spoiler-free review, I just wanted to go home, I was home at the time, but I wanted to play the game immediately after talking about it, so I haven't touched it since I beat it, really. I think I dabbled for about 20 minutes in the side content. But I've not been home. I'm never home. I need to move. I'm never here. I only come back here to do the podcast.
You need one of those
now.
Traveling TV cases.
I do. I should just buy... Preston, do you still have that traveling PS4 thing?
I sold it back to Amazon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should have just bought it from you, because I would use that all the time now.
Yeah, those things are definitely handy.
It would be a pain carrying a PS4 Pro, though.
Yeah,
it would.
I don't even know if the Pro would have fit in the one that I had.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, is there one you can buy for PlayStation and one you can buy for Xbox, or is it the same machine?
The one I had was for the same, as long as it's big enough.
Because I feel like the original Xbox One, I'm looking at it now, is still thicker than the Pro, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, if it could fit that, it could fit.
Yeah. I mean, you just kind of have to just look into it before you buy it.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to invest, but if I get truly, truly desperate, maybe I will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's all I played. You guys play anything else?
I played God of War, and I beat it.
Satisfied?
Yeah, absolutely love the game. Very satisfying ending. Gonna try my best here not to spoil anything. It's kind of hard. The story was very satisfying. The gameplay, just how it develops throughout the game, is very, very satisfying. I know I keep saying satisfying. What else? I mean, just there's hardly anything about the game that's bad, if anything, honestly. I mean, I completely enjoyed my, what was it? I mean, I don't even know how long I played it. I had to at least spend 25, 30 hours getting through the whole game. And I'm pretty well into the post game now as well. And I really like that in this game, that there is kind of a post game, just keep you invested in the world and just, you know, so that you stick around and get the most out of the game. I'm really enjoying that aspect of it.
You're going to platinum it?
I think I might, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great platinum.
I mean, any game that doesn't have a difficulty trophy is instantly, you know, it instantly brings me in, because if it's not a difficulty trophy, I can pretty much get over any hurdle.
Yeah.
You know, just when games are really freaking hard, I kind of just turns me off a little bit. But this game definitely isn't, at least on normal difficulty.
Yeah. I kind of wish they did put a trophy in for the Give Me God of War difficulty.
Yeah.
Just because of how hard I've heard it is, and I've watched a few guys stream it, and it does look crazy hard, but it looks very
satisfying.
Like, satisfying, you know. Again, getting out of some boss battles and battles that are just look, you know, brutally tough. So I might after I platinum just kind of give it a try on the hardest difficulty if I have, you know, nothing else to do. I'm sure I'll want to continue playing the game anyway. So that might.
I think
be
I listened to some of you two, your spoil talk, and I think you said that you wanted to play through the game again, right?
Yeah, I'll definitely play through it again for sure. There's so much in the story, and I'm sure after listening to spoiler discussions, there are so many things laid throughout the game that are just so obvious and in your face that hint towards, you know, the end of the game and stuff. Yeah, and
I listened to a couple spoiler discussions, and I believe Corey Barlog was talking about how there's something at the beginning of the game that kind of it just kind of like tells you, or it kind of like you should have seen it coming or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like there's a little hint.
I love that stuff though, because it makes going back to either look at things or even just replay the game entirely even more enjoyable the second time, to kind of keep an eye out for those sorts of things. Kind of like in The Sixth Sense, spoiler alert, the guy's dead the whole time. And it's the oldest spoiler and one of the most classic spoilers of all time. But throughout that whole movie, there are hints that he's dead the whole time, which I love that, because when you rewatch it, it makes it even more enjoyable. So super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know he also said that he's laid the foundation for a lot of things for future titles as well. So,
very exciting.
And I think, for me personally, I think the Leviathan Axe is probably my favorite weapon in a game now.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I love that thing, really. Dude.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's really all I can say without spoilers. Mm-hmm. I'm still really enjoying the game, and I will probably platinum it. So,
nice.
That's pretty much all I played this week.
Sweet. Yeah, I played like 30 minutes tops of God of War this week. Just kind of like you, doing some post-game stuff. But besides that, I downloaded the original Splinter Cell and played through a few missions of that game. Just like I told you guys last week or the past couple of weeks, I've just been in a big Splinter Cell mood for some reason, and I haven't played that first one in such a long time. And I know the PC version has 3 or 4 extra missions that weren't on the console version. So that kind of made me even more so interested, knowing that there are some original Splinter Cell levels that I haven't even played yet. So like I said, I downloaded that and played that when I had a little bit of time, because God of War is such like it's a game that requires just all of your attention. And I don't really want to hop into that only having 10 minutes to play, you know. So Splinter Cell was something good that I could just dabble in for very, you know, short periods of time. So besides that, man, like y'all, that's pretty much all I played. Unfortunately, not a lot of video game time this week. Hopefully this week will be better.
I'm dying to get back to some PC, man. I miss that machine.
Oh, did you get your 1080 yet?
Yeah, I have it. I just haven't installed it yet. I haven't been home, but it is in my possession. I may try to install it Monday night, is when I'll be back here again briefly. I so desperately need to move, dude. But that's half the reason I don't get to play video games as often, is because I'm just never here anymore. But
why don't you move?
It's just so expensive. Like, for example, when I bought that 1080, I could have never bought that if I was living in an apartment. Would not have been able to afford it.
Well, maybe now you start putting money aside.
Yeah. I mean,
Sounds like it's something you need to do.
I save money. Like, I would, like, that's fine. Like, I get that. But it just would not have been smart for me to have bought that. Because when I can pay that thing off in like a week, it would have taken me probably a couple months to pay it off had I been living in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why. But whenever you want to move, I'll probably just bite the bullet and move anyway.
Who, me?
Yeah. I've been waiting for the day where you're like, I'm ready. And I'll be like, let's do it.
I'm going to purchase a vehicle.
Okay.
And then after that, I'm going to be pretty set in stone to want to move out.
Okay.
So,
yeah, you just say the word, Jacob. I miss groping you in the mornings, crawling into bed with you and just holding you tight. I miss arguing over who's going to wash the dishes. I miss our Game of Thrones marathons, eating T-Bell at night. So you and
I miss the coffee in Game of Thrones. That was, yeah, those were good
the
times. Best.
I mean, you and I are two of the only unmarried men left in our friend group, or at least our closest friend group. Yeah. So we got to take advantage of that and marry each other.
That's correct.
Speaking of moving, the walls of my house are up.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
So
they're up.
What do you mean? The walls of the house are up.
The foundation has been built.
Oh, I forgot you were building a house.
Yeah, my house is being built.
I was like,
built.
What do you mean?
The walls are up. You can, like, stairs are up. Like, everything's, like, laid down. I know they're doing electrical work and plumbing right now. They say August, but they seem to be going way faster than August. So I'm not really sure. Maybe they're just being, you know, better safe than sorry. They don't want to promise.
Right.
Like July or something like it initially was, in case, you know, bad weather strikes or something happens. But if they continue at the pace they're at right now, I cannot see them not finishing it before, or at least in July. So
that's thrilling. We'll see.
It is. It's very exciting. I can't wait to get out of this place and have a place that is actually my own.
Yeah, so. That will literally be your own. No one will have ever lived in it.
That is true.
That'll be even sadder when you have to, if you ever eventually move out of that house, I assume you will at some point, years down the road. But I feel like that's the worst house to have to leave, is the house that was your original first home that you owned and that you built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be very emotional. I'm going to be sad when I leave this house for the last time. I will actually cry.
My parents' first house was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, both the houses they've lived in. Well, I guess their first one was in Indiana, and I don't think that one was built for them. But I was 5, so I don't really remember it.
Yeah. This is the only house where I think I'll feel emotional leaving, because I've been here for so long. Now, granted, I moved out a couple times while we lived in this house, but when I move out of here for the last time, it will be emotional just because I think about how much growing up I've done in this house.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my development as who I am as an individual has happened primarily in this house. That's just kind of emotional. But, like, this is where a lot of my life was spent growing up.
Yeah. I mean, you'll always have those memories.
Right? Yeah, I'll have the memories. It's just, I don't know, there's something special about the walls of this house that I'll miss forever.
These walls have seen some shit.
Yeah, they've seen some great times, some bad times, some amazing times. All my buddies have been in and out of this house a million times. Good times.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Man, are your parents thinking about, do they want to stay here?
They'll be here for at least another 5 or 6 years, probably, but
my parents kind of are. They want to move. Mm-hmm. Or I think they want to have a house here, and then they also want to have one up north.
Oh.
Yeah. For one season.
Double homeowners.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, my dad kind of wants to go back home where he grew up. So, like, they're already, like, my family owns a house that they're going to live in up there. It's on like a little hill with a lake next to it.
That's nice.
Or it's more like a pond, I should say. It's not a lake. But they're like trying to renovate it right now. Like they've been going up every 3 or 4 months. Just my dad goes up there and tries to renovate the house because it's in bad shape right now. And he's just trying to redo the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up there for Thanksgiving and stayed in it. It's still in a rough condition, but in good time, it'll be a nice house. Yeah. It's a big house already.
That's exciting.
Just needs to be, you know, tidied up.
Where do you want to wind up in the long run?
Out of anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere warm. I got to have warm weather. Mm-hmm. I just can't do the cold. Although I say that, but if I had a good job, I would travel for it. You know, I would go. It's all about, you know, where I end up.
I'm hoping to end up in Omaha, Nebraska, personally.
Really?
I love it there. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's freezing. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I want to be.
Nice. I wouldn't mind Florida. I think I'll retire in Florida.
Okay.
Wow.
If I ever get the chance to retire.
That's the most honest tattoo I think I've ever seen, is on one of Chris's, I think it's on Chris's foot. He has a Florida tattoo and it says where America goes to die. It's like, that's so true. Every old couple just goes to Florida and dies there.
That's true. Maybe I should do something else.
So.
I'll go to
Florida's fun, man.
Yeah.
I like Florida.
This is such
it's a crazy state.
There's many different parts of Florida.
There are.
That aren't fun.
This is such a great uplifting of video game discussion, guys.
It is.
You're right.
Preston,
you for your like new house, would you like to turn into a gaming house?
Like the entire house?
We just tell your wife, you know, you can stay in the house you're already in.
Yeah.
We'll just build her in together.
I'll build her a hut out back and you guys can just go. How about that?
Bring her pails of water.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But you guys ready to get into the news?
Yeah.
Cool, man. This is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming. If YouTube isn't good for you, or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Audio Boom, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for timestamps to skip throughout the podcast, links to our social media pages, our PlayStation community, and any other way you could possibly connect with us. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel down below. Please subscribe to the channel and be sure to comment and like down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt. With all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news? So weird saying that, just staring at a computer screen.
Yeah.
So
I'm wrapping up a paper airplane I'm building real quick.
Garrett, this is a podcast.
But Jacob and I, like most of the world, have seen Avengers Infinity War.
That's correct.
And let's talk about it without spoiling it, shall we?
But please, I want to spoil it.
I haven't seen it, so I would love to not be spoiled.
Yeah, of course. Jacob, while I finish up this paper airplane, tell the world...
What happens.
Yeah, exactly. How you felt about this motion picture.
I think that... this movie is a good movie, Garrett. Next question. No, but I think it's a fantastic movie. Is it my favorite superhero movie ever? Maybe. I think it's that good. Wow. I know a lot of people have some little gripes about it. But
it's an awful paper airplane.
No, well, I'm glad you spent all that time making it. <then. laughs> But I think it's pretty phenomenal for what it does, and that it was able to fit that much going on with that many stars in one movie. I think it's pretty phenomenal that they were able to make this a comprehensible story at the very least. And I enjoyed all the, I think this has some of the best action in the whole Marvel universe for sure. I can't talk specifics obviously, but I mean, yeah, I have no complaints, honestly, about the movie.
Give me a percentage. How much is Spider-Man in this movie?
He's in almost all of it.
Okay.
Now, granted, you need to know that...
screen time-wise, maybe 15% of the movie, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's that...
All of the groups of... there's groups of characters in this movie. Yes. I mean, this is already going to spoiler territory. We shouldn't even talk about it. Spider-Man's in it a lot is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool.
I adored the film. It was everything I had hoped it would be. I won't say it was everything and more, but it was exactly what I hoped it would be. And what was even more refreshing about this, not to drag this piece of crap into this discussion, but The Last Jedi, I hated. I hate that movie.
You hate it now?
I hate it. Everything about it, but there's enough about it I hate for me to just say I hate it overall.
Is this worse than The Phantom
Menace? It's because The Last Jedi was so incredibly underwhelming that this felt even more fulfilling because it was fulfilling in every way I hoped it would be, in every way that it needed to be after a 10-year run. With all of these characters we've invested in, all of the journeys they've been through, leading to this pinnacle of storytelling and cinematic history, it was everything I hoped it would be.
I think it was huge bounce back from, Age of Ultron, because I didn't think Age of Ultron was anything to write home about. I thought it was okay.
I thought the action in that movie and the character interactions were good, but the story was silly.
Yeah, the narrative was
very silly. But I loved the... and like I said, the interactions between the Avengers in that movie, specifically one of my favorite scenes in all of the Marvel movies is the dinner party where they're all together after everyone is left and they're just hanging out around that table trying to pick up Thor's hammer. That is a perfect bonding moment for all of them. I've always loved that scene. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Infinity War. I won't really talk too specifically because, again, if I talk about too much, I mean, the whole movie is a giant spoiler. There is so much to spoil in this movie.
You can't really talk about anything. it sucks.
I will say that it was completely engaging from start to finish for me. Again, this is all my opinion. I know people feel differently about this movie, but for me, right from the start all the way to the final frame of the film, I was completely engaged, 100% entertained the entire time.
See, this movie kind of does have an advantage because it's had character development with like 15 plus movies in its backlog. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I kind of found myself, I wish that we could, you know, kind of dive into some of these things a little more than we did. But I mean, obviously we couldn't. I think the movie was almost 3 hours long, or it was.
It's about 2.5, yeah.
So
it was a 3-hour experience with a half an hour of previews before the movie. Right. I got nervous by the time the movie started because the previews, I swear, were 25 minutes long at least. Mm-hmm. And I had to get to work immediately after that. Yeah. And I barely made it on time. It was a miracle I made it to work on time. Anyway, so the movie, it is the best action movie I've ever seen in my life. There is no question about it. It is un-freaking believable how effing epic the movie is, dude. There's specifically, I'm not going to spoil them. I won't even say who they involve, but there are two moments, dude, where I wanted to front flip out of my seat. It was so awesome.
I know one of them for sure.
And I was so upset, though, because there was only one guy, I swear, in the theater that was as excited as I was. It was the dad by himself next to me. Oh, he and I, dude, were having a blast watching this movie, dude. I swear I looked at him more than I looked at you, because there's a couple times where I looked at you and you were just stoic and still. I was like, how are you not freaking out right now?
I was internally.
Yeah, because internally, like, I wanted to scream. I was so excited. And that's what I missed so terribly, because I told you two of the best movie experiences I've ever had are when I saw Don't Breathe and Get Out at Atlantic Station, where the crowd was so involved. And this is the movie where I see all over Twitter people like, oh, the crowd was the best part of the movie, like everyone reacting together. Yeah. And I've had that experience before, but in this one, just the only guy getting excited was the guy next to me. Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes when I'm in a theater, I feel like people don't want to hear that, and like I'm more reserved.
Yeah, I get something. That. And again, we were at a morning showing, so a lot of people were probably just like,
mm-hmm. I've never experienced like a movie with like where the crowd was,
dude,
into it.
There's a part where I swear if we were at a like a Thursday night preview screening or like a Friday night screening, the whole theater would have come crumbling down at one part in this movie. I could not believe how pumped I was when it happened. And
there was one moment in particular that I can't talk about. But it really got me psyched. I think I actually broke a smile.
Mm-hmm. I can't even, I'm going to see it again tomorrow with Casey. Casey hasn't had a chance to see it yet. And I am head over heels excited to see it again. I loved the movie. Mm-hmm. We have to have a spoiler discussion, and we're not going to do it because we want to get views, because at this point it'll have been too late to get a ton of views anyway. But I want to just talk about it with our community and just with each other, because there is so much to dissect, and I'll have to see it at the very least one more time for me to even have a very real, meaningful spoiler discussion, because there are so many things that happen, not only with action moments or character moments or lines of dialogue or story beats, all of it culminating into this nearly a masterpiece of a film. And the very, very minor gripes I have with the movie, which obviously we cannot discuss here, are justified, I think, because originally Infinity War was designed to be a two-part movie. Is going to be Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. Now, they split it into two quote-unquote different Avengers films, where the Russo brothers have stated, this is Infinity War. The untitled Avengers 4 movie, which comes out a year from now, is technically a continuation of this film, but at the same time, they claim it's very different from this movie. Now, different, I don't know in what way, but obviously, after you've seen this movie, there's a whole lot to imagine where they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
But I loved it, dude. And I will say, this isn't a spoiler, the visual effects on Thanos were immaculate. And you know how I complain about Marvel visual effects
fantastic.
These days? He looked, and it's good because obviously they've been building up to Thanos, like we said, for a decade. They can't F him up after all this time. And they succeeded in every way. The way he looked, phenomenal. His performance from Josh Brolin, excellent. His story arc as a character, this is what I'll say. People are saying, Thanos is the best villain, and people are questioning, is Thanos really the best villain? I will say, he is the best performed and best realized villain, but I will say his motive is not, I don't think it's the best motive for a villain in the movie.
Probably not.
I think Killmonger's motive as a villain makes him the second best villain, because I think his motive is a very real, now I can't relate to it personally, obviously, but I think where he's coming from, I can see why he has the will and the desire to do what he's doing in Black Panther. Now Thanos, I think overall is the better villain, but I think his motive is lacking a little bit. But again, this is just his mindset. Now, when I put myself in the shoes of Thanos, even though I think his motive is silly, I can see why he's doing what he's doing, because he truly believes this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And in that sense, he delivered for me all the way through. And he definitely lives up.
Set a spoiler.
Yeah. He lives up to the hype that it has been building for these 10 years. And I'm so happy with it. And I cannot wait for the continuation of this movie. I'm trying to think of anything more we can contribute to this conversation without spoiling. Because like I said, nearly every scene's a spoiler.
I'm scared to almost even all say anything.
So Preston, and for your sake, I promise you will be very satisfied with Spider-Man in this movie.
Yeah. Spider-Man has great moments.
Very exciting.
But yeah, all of them. Like I said, when we do our spoiler discussion eventually, I'll talk about some of the characters I was a little underwhelmed with. And it wasn't a performance thing. It was just a writing thing, I think. But again,
there are others that I'm really impressed with, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some that we'll break down that I was blown away with. Not only the performances, but their arc as characters in the movie. And like you said, it is a unbelievable achievement for them to take this many characters and make them all, almost nearly all of them, perfectly balanced throughout. Of course, there are some that don't get as much love as others, but I think the reason why those gripes for me will be justified, I assume will be justified in the continuation of this movie. I feel like the characters that didn't get to shine quite as much in this movie will get their moments in the sequel.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not too worried about it. But other than that, like I said, loved it. Cannot wait to see it again. And I'm almost jealous, Preston, that you get to go see it after this podcast, because I would die to see it after this podcast. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I remember walking out of the theater and I was just like, you know, what's a good word? I was just happy, I guess. Just
plain and simple. And even better is that, actually, that's a spoiler. I'm not going to go
there. It's very rare when I walk out of a theater and I'm just like, I can't stop thinking about a movie and like, I just can't wait to talk to people about it. And I couldn't talk to anyone about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was terrible. Because normally you and I would have gone home and done like a review of some sort, but you had to go to work. I had to go to work. Very depressing. But I loved it, man. And Preston, before you go, after we finish this podcast, if you have any questions whatsoever about anything, please let me answer them. Because I promise you, if you go in knowing all the films like the back of your hand, or at least as close as you can get to knowing them that well, this movie will have 10 times the amount of impact on you that it will if you had you not seen some of these movies and whatnot.
And I think he hasn't seen like two of the most important ones.
Yeah, two of the ones leading into this one. But like you said, Preston, you've read synopsises and kind of watched videos leading you up to that point. So at least you're going in with a general understanding of where these characters are at the start of the Infinity War.
You could say that that's a must need before seeing this
movie. Oh, it is an absolute must need.
Okay. Yeah. After this is over, why don't you just give me a quick rundown for the things that like I absolutely need to know before going in, just to make
sure. Okay, cool.
Tell them what happens.
I'm like a few of the epic moments in this movie. I just keep thinking about them. Like, that is the coolest freaking thing ever. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe how cool it was. So
there's just my favorite scene. I can't wait to talk about it. My gosh, I can't talk to anyone about it.
So I don't even know what your favorite scene is. You don't know what my favorite scene is.
No.
So I'm so pumped. But obviously, without spoilers, all of you, please let us know your thoughts down below. I know this is a brief spoiler review, but obviously this movie, like I said, is a giant spoiler, so there's only so much you can talk about.
I like I think it's a new theme, but the new Avengers theme, I really love it.
That's been around since the first movie, but
I feel like they've changed
it's evolved a little bit. Now, the score entirely, I will say, is one of the best Marvel scores of all time in this one, because I think they probably took the criticism of a lot of reviews in the past where the Marvel music isn't necessarily memorable in any of them. And this one has a great score,
I think.
This
one, I think, is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's still the same song, but...
The main Avengers theme is the same, but all the music built around that really is really solid. So, now I will say, as great as the visual effects are on Thanos, there are some in the movie that I'm like, oh, that's very bad, like the one scene in Thor Ragnarok. But thankfully, there's only like one or two very brief moments like that. But the rest were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So... very excited to talk about the movie. Please let us know your thoughts down below if you've seen it, and just your spoiler-free thoughts. I know we have our spoiler section on Discord as well. We can continue the conversation there. But for the sake of growing on YouTube, we encourage you to say at least hello in the comments below. And look forward to our spoiler review if you guys want to hear our actual thoughts on a lot of the spoilers in the movie. That will come at some point, maybe by the end of this week or something. So we'll see. But Preston, anything you want to add to that before we move on?
I don't think I even would have anything to add at all, so no.
Okay, cool. Well, are you excited to go see the movie?
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. I'm pretty much right after this is over, I'm going.
You taking the waifu?
No, me and my uncle are going to see it.
Ooh. I think you guys are going to have a good time. How caught up is Jay on these movies?
I think he's seen everything but Black Panther.
Okay.
You should tell him to, like,
watch whatever I tell you about Black Panther, you don't know, you need to tell him going into it.
Okay.
So he knows. Do.
All right, cool.
Because one of my favorite moments in the movie involves Black Panther. It's very brief, but I swear, I nearly did a triple front flip out of my seat. It was so awesome.
Okay, so, I'm excited.
Yeah. I need to go see it again.
Yeah. You can come with me and Casey tomorrow night if you want.
It's in Atlanta, though, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be far away.
It's pretty far. But yeah, speaking of Marvel, you guys want to talk about the Venom, the second trailer for Venom we got?
Sure.
You and I have seen this trailer, obviously. Preston, have you seen the Venom trailer?
Yes, I have seen it.
Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, it looks cool. I think Venom looks cool. That's pretty much my main takeaway from it is, Venom looks cool. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Looks a little pasty.
A little oily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that man some skin cream.
I mean, I don't know if I really think that's a complaint. It's just what it is.
That's kind of what I envisioned him looking like in live action version is if he's like the symbiote stuff, whatever, however you say it, is gooey. So right. It would be gooey.
I guess I just never really thought about it because I've always seen Venom, you know, as a cartoon. So yeah.
I will say, I mean, I think he looks pretty cool. We've only seen a very brief shot of Tom Hardy with basically the Venom body laying on the ground, but we've only seen a close up of Venom's face. I think in action, I have a good feeling he's going to look pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, like all the brief action scenes we get in the movie where he's not really Venom, but he's shooting the symbiote or whatever out of his body, like to grab onto the bike stuff while he's in air, for example. That stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the movie overall, it kind of reminds me, I'm not the first to say this, but I had the same thought viewing the second trailer for the first time, that it kind of reminds me of like a 90s espionage action flick in a way. It looks kind of old, but not necessarily in a bad way. It feels almost nostalgic to me. I like Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock New Yorker type accent he's doing. I think it's kind of cool for Tom. I like when Tom Hardy does just weird things with characters. And he's a very talented actor, too. The main reason I'm excited for this one, obviously Venom's cool. But secondly, Tom Hardy playing the character is even cooler to me. I think if it was anyone else in the role, I wouldn't be nearly as interested. But Tom Hardy's really drawing me to it. And I like the idea of... now, I'm not an expert on the Venom character. I'm not going to pretend to be. But this version of Venom, it seems that the symbiote has crash-landed under Earth. And this Drake character, who is the guy who plays...
coincidence? I think not.
Yeah. Who plays Bodhi from Rogue One. Seems to be the villain in this film, where he's collected the symbiote and he's kind of experimenting on, I assume, cancer patients to be like, well, you're going to die anyway. Let me experiment on you. And that's what Eddie Brock seems to be asking about in that interview at the beginning of the trailer. Like, what's going on? You're taking patients that are you're experimenting on and killing them. And the guy's like, interview's over. Get out of here. And he like, tells Eddie Brock, he's like,
this isn't over.
Yeah. But so... obviously, Eddie Brock gets involved with his other journalists are trying to figure out, what's going on with the symbiote stuff in this lab? Let's break in. It seems he breaks in. It gets on him.
Yeah,
he leaves.
Exposed.
Venom. He does the Venom voice, too, which I think is cool. He does that.
Oh, really?
I
wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that's Tom Hardy doing the voice, too, which I think is cool. So,
I'm Venom.
Yeah, I really like how he's talking to himself or talking to Venom, who's kind of inside him now.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like I said, it's very like early 2000s, maybe late 90s, cheesy action type movie. But I almost want it to be like that. I think it sounds kind of fun that way. And obviously, tentacles fly out of him. He's fighting guys and drives the motorcycle down the street and the guy picks him up. And visual effects look pretty cool, even for a trailer when it morphs over his face. Yeah. He's like, I think the "we are Venom" thing is kind of silly because I hate all "we are this, we are that" hashtag going around for everything these days. Like, why are we all this together? I think he should just be Venom. But the "we are Groot" thing, I know that was like a charming little scene in Guardians of the Galaxy, but now everyone's like hashtag "we are this, we are that." I'm like, how about he's just Venom? Like, I am Venom. I don't know. It's just a stupid little gripe I have. But looks cool. I like the tongue. And this is R-rated, too, by the way. It's going to be an R-rated movie.
Really?
So there are rumors that Tom Holland has been spotted on set.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Was there any chance that, you know, Marvel Spider-Man is going to, you know, maybe in the future, these two ever, you know, meet each other or have a confrontation?
Because Sony technically has the right to do with Spider-Man what they want. which kind of sucks for Tom Holland and for Marvel Studios in a sense, because they're able to do that. I'm sure Kevin Feige is trying to talk him out of doing anything stupid with Spider-Man's character, but this movie takes place in San Francisco, so I don't know why Spider-Man would be in San Francisco, or if at the very end, Eddie Brock heads back to New York and he has an encounter with Spider-Man there. I don't know.
Is that where Venom was originated? Is it San Francisco?
I don't think so.
Is that like canon?
Not that I know of. From what I remember, the symbiote winds up on Spider-Man first, and then it goes to Eddie. And that's the reason why Eddie hates Spider-Man is, one, because of that, but two, because Spider-Man ruins his photo career or something. Like, similar to the Spider-Man 3 movie. Comes from a comic. I'm sure you comic guys or gals can let us know down below. But
if anything coming to comics, I'm the worst person to ask.
Yeah, I'm not very well-versed in comics in general. I've read a lot of classic Batman comics, but Spider-Man, I've only read a handful, so. Yeah,
Venom trailer looks pretty cool, I guess.
I'm excited to see it. Even if it's a middle-of-the-road action flick, I think it looks pretty enjoyable.
It will have to be pretty good for me to actually go see it.
I'm definitely going to go see it, but I'm predicting it's going to get middle-of-the-road reviews. That's what it looks like. Maybe it'll surprise us. I don't know, but we'll see. Speaking of Marvel, though, we have a community question from Josh Scriber.
Oh, awesome.
He says, "Hey, guys. Hope you all have been well. If you had the final say in which Marvel character to star in a game, who would you choose? I'd choose Psylocke because I feel like a third-person action-adventure game with an Infamous-like camera would be perfect for her, especially since her powers would be versatile on a skill tree, making it a very unique experience." I need, like, a scuba tank to breathe right now.
I'm sorry. I wish I could help you.
What Marvel character, aside from Spider-Man, which our dreams have officially come true,
right,
come September, who else would you like to see?
For me, it'd be Thor or Iron Man.
I really want to see Iron Man. I think Iron Man could be cool.
I don't, but, you know, if Iron Man, does he have the villains to keep me interested?
I don't know. You have the whole Marvel universe. You could really throw anyone in there if you wanted to.
I guess.
Because I could see you really customizing Iron Man's suit similar to Kratos in God of War, where he has different armor that do different things and different weapons he can attach.
Just in the movies alone, Iron Man's suit is, you know, evolved.
Exactly. Think about how you can customize his suit. You definitely have to have some sort of an open world because he can fly around.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me of a Superman game. How do you really tackle a Superman game when you can fly around the world? So it's kind of hard. Yeah. But then again, think about Far Cry. You can fly airplanes and helicopters. Just make Iron Man feel like you're flying really fast around the world, and maybe you can get away with it if you have the world the size of a Far Cry map, for example.
That just doesn't feel like something Tony Stark would be doing.
Right, just flying around at, like, I don't know where he would even be based. I guess California something.
Like, Tony Stark's going to do, like, side missions.
Right, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's hard to tackle in the sense of a character, but as far as playing the character, I think it'd be fun just to be Iron Man flying around, but yeah, I don't know what you would do.
I'd like another... I know they've already made one that was received fairly well, but I'd like another shot at Deadpool.
Yeah, it seems like the right time, too, with the hype of the movie and the character, so...
Yeah, I know the one High Moon Studios did was fine, but I think they could make it, you know, really, really, really good if you get the right team behind it, you know, obviously.
I agree. I'd like to see another crack at Wolverine, too. I know that's a generic answer.
Oh, that's a good one.
But Wolverine had a great movie game, and imagine if a AAA studio got behind Wolverine. I think
I'm changing
really
my
cool.
answer to Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah, make Logan, just essentially make the Logan movie, but like God of War. Gameplay-wise.
Exactly.
I don't know. I kind of want to see a young Wolverine just wreak havoc.
I'd like a not even really a movie-inspired Wolverine game again, but go back to how, well, I mean, granted, this was movie-inspired, but it didn't really feel that way. It was X3 Wolverine, where it was technically based off X-Men 2, the movie. But the story
Don't
and art design
X...
were nothing like the movie at all.
You mean X2 Wolverine?
Or X2
right?
Wolverine, yeah. Which was technically a movie game, but it didn't feel that way.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, but I'd like to see a more comic book inspired Wolverine game that has the violence of the X-Men Origins game, but has more of like a comic book style to it. It'd be kind of cool. Like with like art design and character motivations and backstories and stuff. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
Moving on, there's apparently a new Doom movie in development that's coming either straight to Blu-ray and DVD and or streaming. And it's in the works from Universal 1440, which is the branch of Universal that produces movies that go straight to Blu-ray and streaming. So there was an actress cast, and based on the picture that was floating around, I can't remember her name, but she looks like, sort of looks like, what's her name from the most recent game? What's her name again?
I did not play Doom.
She's the one that unleashes hell upon Mars, or opens the portal, or one of them that opens a portal. You know who I'm talking about, Preston, that old lady?
In what?
In Doom.
Oh, I don't know her name. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she kind of looks like her, so I imagine they're going to go in that direction with the movie. I don't know how well a straight-to-DVD Doom movie could look, or even be, but I have a little hope for it. I love the game. I could see it just being a really brutal, awesome action movie, but I imagine that's very hard to do with a straight-to-DVD budget, so I don't know. Because I feel like that whole movie would have to be primarily visual effects, because you have demons running around and you're in hell and stuff. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully how that goes. Hopefully The Rock reprises his role.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm hoping for.
You guys think we get a new Doom this year? Or not this year, but... You know,
I think a new Doom will be shown at E3, yes.
Yeah, well, at the very least, we'll get nothing less than a tease of the next Doom from id Software, okay. For sure.
For sure, man.
Think I'll ever play the first Doom?
You should. It's my favorite shooter of all time right now.
How have you really? Not, Jacob? Yeah.
Of all time? Mm-hmm. Wow.
No, I mean like pure through-and-through shooter, where it's not like an open-world game where you shoot guns or a... I don't know what I'm trying to say, but as far as just a streamline, this is purely a first-person shooter through and through. It is, to this day, it is my favorite shooter so far.
I might pick it up next time. It's on Steam, discounted.
It's excellent. It's
awesome, Jacob.
It is so good.
It's such an old game, though.
Old game. It's beautiful. It feels incredible, man. I'm going to pick it up on PC for pleasure.
Okay.
Mark my words,
Jacob. You don't need to
do that. Garrett, is this just a movie podcast? You have any games?
No, we're actually jumping into games right now. Oh, the Destiny 2 Warmind cinematic trailer.
Finally.
What'd you think of the cinematic trailer, boys?
It's a trailer.
Yeah, I don't watch care it at all.
Moving
I didn't
on.
Watch it.
looks intriguing, you know. Rasputin's at it again.
Yeah, there he goes.
That daggum Rasputin.
No, the Hive are back on the frozen tundra of Mars, it seems like.
Yeah, I had no emotional reaction to this trailer whatsoever.
I didn't either.
My eyeballs viewed it, and I didn't think about it a second after.
I'm going to play it.
Are you?
I am.
Okay.
But will I enjoy it? That's yet to be seen.
But dude, there's like a Horde mode public event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan of Horde mode, so... We'll see if that keeps my attention.
You think they have some Battle Royale in there?
Eh?
That's what's going to save Destiny.
Yeah, Battle Royale. How just humiliating that would be for Bungie.
It could actually work, though, like with their weapon system. Like, you could find, like, just exotics.
Destiny Royale. Be oh, kinda, gosh, I would cool. throw up. I'd cringe so hard if I saw something like that from Bungie. But again, I've said this a million times. I don't want it to suck. I just am not interested. So I'm hoping people start talking about it when it comes out. And people are like, Destiny's back. It's awesome. And maybe it'll be like, man, I need to pick it up on PC and play to that.
I wouldn't count on that. Not until at least
I'm not
September.
Counting on it. I'm not counting on it, but yeah. I certainly.
Now, hope. Granted, in their defense, the big change, or so I've heard, is like this holiday. So.
That's holiday?
That's what we need to wait for.
You mean the fall DLC?
Yeah, so I read that, well, Destiny fans are saying that this is not the big change everybody's waiting for. That's coming later this year. This is just what they've already been working on that they just have to put out. They can't do, like, reinvent the game like people want them to do yet.
Right, yeah. Like, most people are waiting for, like, that Taken King expansion, you know, like, that comes out in early fall, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bummer that people have to wait on something like that, though.
When it should have been right the
My
first
God of War,
time
imagine around. If we played it. I know it's not even in slightly in the realm of being a Destiny game, but imagine if we played God of War, we're like, man, this is really cool, but I can't wait until they bring these big changes they promised to God of War. Then I'll be really into it.
A year later.
Yeah, that's... I would, if I was a hardcore Destiny fan, I'd be really upset about that. But
you guys y'all are a bunch of entitled assholes.
We are, man. We totally are.
Yeah.
That's
all I have to say about this whole subject.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bungie, let's talk about, Bungie was the alma mater of this franchise, but Microsoft and Halo specifically. And how Microsoft,
Halo VR?
And how Microsoft predictably and understandably had to crack down on El Dorito this past week after the popularity exploded upon its most recent update. And people are like, Halo's on PC, it's great! Microsoft's like, sorry guys, you can't do that. But totally understandable. It's their property, their assets, and they have to protect that. I never got to get into El Dorito. I mean, I assume it's still functioning. They just can't continue development. Is that correct?
I have no idea.
As far as the last thing I saw, that is correct.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure people can play it. They just the developers behind El Dorito cannot continue development because Microsoft and 343 as well. They were very cool about it. Like, we get that there's an audience for Halo on PC, but it's almost like they said, as everyone's talking about now, hold your horses. We understand there's a community on PC that wants to play Halo. Just wait on us.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means
they've had us to reveal Halo 6.
Yeah. That would be cool, though, if it came to Xbox and PC, yeah. But...
that's probably the only way I'll play it, if I'm being honest.
Halo 6.
I don't know if I'll buy it on Xbox.
As much as I dislike the story of the new trilogy, like I've said, I will play Halo 6 regardless, but I'd like to try it on PC going forward. But I think best case scenario, which I highly doubt this is the case, I think it'd be cool if they just dragged the entire Master Chief Collection to PC.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool, but I think they need to just
hire these guys. Just bring them in the team, make this game like 15 or something bucks and just do that. Kind of do like, I think I talked to you about this, kind of what the Sonic Mania guys did.
Yeah.
They were making their own Sonic games. Granted, I don't know if they like legit made their own Sonic games or they were reusing sprites and assets as well. Yeah. But anyways, these guys, these El Dorito guys got it up and running and stuff. Microsoft, it's already successful. Like, I wonder if they could just throw a little bit of funds or assets at them and just be like, hey, you're already doing this, so let's kind of put our name on it and actually make some money off of it. I think people would be happy with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, don't
granted, I'm sure it's way more complicated than that, but
oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, but I could see, like, instead of having to fracture 343's staff to be like, all right, you guys are gonna work on the Halo ports for PC, the rest of you are gonna keep working on Halo 6, presumably that's what they're working on.
Yeah.
And be like, how about instead we just contract these El Dorito guys to work on it remotely from somewhere else, and we'll monitor it, we'll keep track of it, and like you said, Preston, fund it and then put it out for a reasonable price, and that way 343 can be all hands on deck on whatever next major Halo property they're working on.
Yeah.
Like I said, dream case scenario for me would be just have Master Chief Collection on PC. But if they had that much struggle on console, I can't imagine how hard it is to port it to PC as well. I have no idea. And how many people would engage with all those lobbies of the multiplayer games. Would you even be able to find a game? Because I know there is, like we said, an audience on PC for Halo, but probably not nearly as big as Xbox. I could be wrong about that, but...
I mean, we don't really know how much engagement it would bring.
Yeah. I would definitely dabble. Which is funny, because I could do that on Xbox, but I would probably still play Halo on PC with a controller, because I tried playing Halo Online with a mouse and keyboard, and it just felt so weird. And most shooters, I'm used to shooters now on PC because we've been playing them so much in this past however long we've been on PC.
It's
kind of
different with Halo, though, because you kind of grew up just...
Yeah, Halo, it felt really strange with a mouse and keyboard. I don't know why. Now, granted, I'll probably get my ass kicked by people that are playing mouse and keyboard on Halo, but I think controller just feels natural to me with Halo. But I even watched a guy playing El Dorito, I think it was Mr. Fruit, actually, who chose to use a controller over mouse and keyboard in that as well.
But, so I don't know much about this El Dorito... These people.
It's basically Halo 3 with like Halo 4 assets added to it.
So they're basically just making new maps and stuff?
I think a lot of it is the classic maps, but for example, you'd be using the Halo 4 BR instead of the Halo 3 BR. It's kind of jarring. You'd be like, oh, that looks kind of strange, but it functions. So I didn't get, like I said, I didn't get to play the update at all, but we'll see how this progresses. I'd love to, I want to hear a little bit of Halo news at E3 this year from Microsoft, because
it's been a while.
I'm a Halo fanboy, admittedly. And I don't know if I mean, I'd like to see a reveal of Halo 6. Not that I'm that excited for it, but I, like I said, post Halo 6, I feel like they have to finish this trilogy they started. And obviously the way Halo 5 ends, they have to finish it somehow. I really think a rebirth of Halo has a lot of potential just with characters and maybe even to an extent gameplay. It's always going to be a first person shooter, but I feel like there's a lot of room they have to play with what Halo can be.
Hey, there's a RTS, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to, but I think traditional Halo, there's a lot of ways that shooter can evolve. So
maybe
we'll see.
You think Agent Locke will have a reappearance?
Spartan I hope Locke. So. I was really disappointed with how his character played out in Halo 5 because the way it was advertised, like, man, this guy's a badass. I can't wait to see what he does. And he's really kind of thrown into the background of Halo 5 towards the end.
So after the events of Halo 5, I mean, should I really spoil what happens or does it matter?
I don't think it really matters right now because, I mean, it'll be more relevant around E3 probably. I mean, but
instead of having like your regular companion, which that isn't really a thing anymore, mm-hmm. like what if Locke was kind of like the whole Last of Us or God of War kind of thing where you have a companion for a journey? I know it's completely different.
I mean, Cortana was always sort of your companion through the original trilogy and even Halo 4.
But would it be weird just having another Spartan instead of...
I don't think so, because if you remember in Halo 5, you have a squad the entire time. You have your blue team with Master Chief, and Locke has his team as well. Because it was designed to be a cooperative experience, and which is another one of its downfalls, I think.
Which is strange, because it didn't have couch co-op, right?
It did not. Yeah, but it was only online. Yeah, Halo 5 had a lot of weird issues with the campaign, but very well-developed game. It looked beautiful. It played well. It felt good to play. But story arcs, silly. Some of the design of the campaign I didn't like very much. Multiplayer, I think, was the strongest asset of Halo 5. And I'm sure that will transition into Halo 6. But that's besides the point. We'll talk about that when it's inevitably revealed, I'm sure. Moving on, speaking of Microsoft, let's talk about the Xbox Games with Gold for May. You boys excited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Hey.
Which was recently free on PlayStation a couple months ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, way to be late to that one, Xbox.
Jacob, you don't need to rub it in the dirt, man. It's one thing to be a footstool. We don't need to bury the footstool in the dirt as well. Okay?
You're right, I'm sorry.
Super Mega Baseball 2 is one I'm very excited for. I'm going to dust off the old machine and jump in and dabble. on 360, you're getting the Sega Vintage Collection Streets of Rage. Mm. One of my personal favorites.
Streets of Rage.
And Vanquish. Moving on.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Is Vanquish a good game?
Vanquish is awesome.
Yeah, Vanquish is great.
Vanquish is like a game, like if I, knowing nothing about Vanquish, it just seems like if I made a game and I wanted something edgy, I would call it Vanquish.
Vanquish is, I believe, made by Platinum Games, but it's a third-person shooter that is very fast-paced. There's a PC version that's that kind of released right after they ported Bayonetta to PC. That is a really good port.
I love using the word Vanquish. Instead of saying, let's go kill our enemies, I like to say, let's vanquish our enemies.
Gives it a whole new meaning.
Yes, a little more impactful, the word vanquish.
A little more intense.
How about we discuss the PlayStation Plus games for May?
Oh, now
we're talking.
Is this where the news is ending with this stuff?
It is, yes.
Okay, I would like, before we continue, I would like to talk about something for a very small amount of time, because there's not a lot of details, but the Tomb Raider... Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot that was revealed.
Was this week. Not a lot was actually released to the public. There are a handful of articles and videos that have been released where people, you know, give their impressions. I believe they were able to play an hour from what seemed like the very beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm a little, I'm not going to say concerned, but I haven't myself heard anything very positive about the game.
I was going to say the same thing.
The most negative thing I had read was from PC Gamer the website, their article, I believe it was titled something saying just how they were fairly disappointed. But all the points that everybody that I've listened to, it just seems like it's more of the same.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah. Which to me, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I love Rise and the original Tomb Raider so much, so more of that sounds great. But then again, the people only played the first hour, which is a very linear experience from what we've seen, and we do know that the games do open up at some point, and they're really trying to push this predator side of Laura, where she'll be, you know, in the jungle like the predator, taking these guys, taking people out in different ways. She's more vicious and self-centered in this game, for from what I've heard and seen. So that is interesting. So hopefully the beginning of the game, you know, they're people are just, we're expecting more from this game. It is a little bit more of the same, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I read that she has a grappling hook now, probably similar to how Nathan Drake has one in Uncharted 4.
Okay.
So that's a thing, a new mechanic, I guess. I think I was reading actually Alana Pierce's impressions, and you said it felt good to use. You swing around and in between obstacles and stuff. So that's a thing. Story-wise, I admittedly, I think it kind of sounds generic, because it's like every character, whether it be a video game or even a movie, it's like, this is the dark chapter of the character where they're moody and mean. I'm like, this has been done so many times. And now we've never seen Lara Croft like this. So I hope in that sense, we see a side of Lara that isn't as generic as it sounds to me, where she's like, oh, I have a bad attitude. I just want to raid tombs. It's the only thing that makes me happy, and like blows off all of her friends. Now, I get it. That part of the character hasn't been explored, so hopefully they do it in a way that feels a little fresh. But just on paper, that doesn't sound very interesting to me.
So I have a quick question. I haven't played Rise yet of the Tomb Raider. In the first game, you know, Laura's kind of innocent, and she kind of develops as the game goes on. How is Rise tonally different from that compared to what the third one's going to be?
You're probably better explaining this than I am, Preston.
I mean,
is she kind of the same as the first game? Like,
she's kind of the same kind of towards the end of the first game. You know, she's not like a complete veteran, but
she's kind of adapted to the situation. She's
a little more confident.
Definitely more confident for sure. But she's not, she's nowhere near like the Laura in this one. That people are saying, you know, she's very selfish,
confident, cocky.
Selfish. That is the word that the developers have been using for Laura. Is she's just very confident in this game, but it almost seems like she's very cocky.
What that means is going to come back to bite her.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm sure. Apparently, she starts the Mayan or the apocalypse or something in this game. I believe that's what it is. But I don't know too much. Granted, no actual footage. I just looked at some screenshots.
You can swim underwater in this one.
Yeah,
it's never been done before.
I know you can hide in vines as well and do like stealth attacks coming out of the vines. I think at the end of the day, I think it'll be a good game. I can't imagine it not being a good game, but we'll see.
I mean, you can't swim in God of War, so that means that this game will be better than God of War.
I'll be right back.
100% agreed.
I drink like 4 bottles of water sitting here. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to talk about the PlayStation Plus games for May with you, Jacob.
Do it.
First, we have Beyond Two Souls. I watched Preston play that nearly from start to finish.
I remember him playing it. It was at the apartment, correct? Mm-hmm.
I've heard some decent things about that game. It's not beloved, I don't think, but there are those out there who enjoyed the game. And this is also coming from what are they called? Quantic Dream. Mm-hmm. Coming out with
Detroit Become Human.
In May. So
I probably won't play Beyond Two Souls, but I will probably add it to my library if I remember.
I will never play that game because I watch Preston play it. But I will probably play Detroit. I feel like I owe it to myself to play that one.
I don't even know if I'm going to play that. I haven't decided.
I won't even say I'm excited to play it, but I feel like I should play it for some reason.
If it gets some good reviews, I'll check it out. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. If it's a $60 title, maybe I don't.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Rayman Legends. Preston and I dabbled in that in co-op. We played about half the game in co-op, if I remember
correctly.
Back
when there was nothing to play on PS4.
On PlayStation 4, yeah. We got so excited about Rayman. It was like, wow, this looks so good.
Something new.
Even though it was a side-scroller. But that's a really fun game. I was never a huge Rayman fan in the past, but we played that one, and I really enjoyed it. It's solid.
See, that's what's good about having a PC now. Is like I don't really feel like I need to jump on the console bandwagon right when they come out, unless there's like this amazing title that's going to come out with it, like a Switch and Zelda, for example.
At the very least, I will not be selling my PS4 for a long time.
Don't you dare.
Even after the PS5 comes out eventually, I will hold on to the PS4. I will not make the same mistake twice, because getting rid of the 360 and PS3 was a huge mistake.
To get rid of it.
That's why we love Thief so much, and why it's the best game in the world, is because it was there for us when nothing else was.
I definitely still have my copy of Thief.
Yeah. Never let it go. Risen 3 Titan Lords. I have no idea what that is.
That?
No idea.
That's a Resident Evil.
That's a trash RPG.
Wow, Preston, that's bold words coming from you, pal.
Sorry, I just speak the truth.
What about Eat Them on PS3?
Eat Them? Yes, that's a good one.
That's definitely not a zombie game. Can't be.
Who knows? King Oddball is coming to Vita. It's cross-buy with PS3 and PS4. Don't know that one either. And lastly, Furmens to PS Vita.
Wow.
Furmens.
What a great month.
Yeah, exciting times, guys. Exciting times.
I'm sure a lot of people will want to play Beyond Two Souls.
If I could play anything this week, I want to play Far Cry 5 and Hunt Showdown with my new fancy schmancy 1080 graphics card.
You're not going to play God of War?
I might dabble a wee bit. I'm not dying to platinum the game, because everything that I would have experienced while playing it, I've heard about. Now, I do want to fight a Valkyrie just to say I've fought and hopefully defeated at least one, but I'll probably just read about the rest. I'm not going to platinum it, because...
That's understandable. You know,
adore the game, though, through and through. That brings us to community questions. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking times out of your days, weeks, evenings, work schedules, whatever you were doing when you submitted these questions. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to do so, because it makes the latter half of this podcast even more exciting, because it's very unpredictable. I think that's the perfect amount of time, Jacob, to get through these questions. We got to wrap this up soon, but again, thank you for your questions. Please keep them coming. Ask IOG. I've said this 1,000 times. We'll return eventually, and we have a plethora of questions to get to. It's going to be several good episodes of that show when we get back to it. So please keep them coming. It'll keep us going for a long time. But if you want your questions read on this show or Ask IOG, you can submit them in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming, or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel, always using the hashtag #AskIOG, so we know you want your question read on the show publicly. All that being said, let's jump into number one.
Yeah.
Comes from Fort Worth Snake.
Oh.
Here she says, "All right, got a God of War related question after this week's episode. Y'all seem to be at an agreement that God of War is better than The Last of Us. Haven't finished God of War, so I can't exactly comment on that, but really, The Last of Us was just, holy hell, LOL. My question is, if you can only have one sequel, what would y'all choose? God of War 2 or The Last of Us Part 2? Let's be honest, the hype for Last of Us Part 2 was already very real, but after God of War, the bar was possibly raised pretty high, and I expect Naughty Dog does more than deliver." This is a really awesome question.
I have an answer, and I think it's a really good one.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to say God of War 2.
Really? Not what I expected from you.
Don't get me wrong. I am, like you said, the hype for Last of Us 2 is unreal. I'm so excited for that game. However, The Last of Us ended, I feel like, a very conclusive way. A lot of the, you know, loose ends were tied. There was no cliffhanger ending with The Last of Us. I feel like if that was just it for The Last of Us, I would be extremely satisfied with that.
It's a good point, Preston.
Whereas God of War is very much a piece of a much larger dynamic
pie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of ingredients.
I don't want to say anything, but you know what I mean. I feel like we need a God of War 2. Whereas, don't get me wrong, I'm incredibly excited for The Last of Us 2, but I don't feel like we need it.
I agree. I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't
like really. Almost to a T is almost precisely what I was going to say.
It's a perfect answer.
So
you killed it, Preston.
And again, like, we're all going to lose our minds when Last of Us Part 2 releases. But same thing with me. I thought it concluded perfectly. I always thought upon finishing it, that it should have been a one off. But at the same time, I trust Naughty Dog, and I trust Neil Druckmann in particular when he says, if we have a story to tell and we believe in it, then I trust that it's going to be awesome, because they have not let us down yet. So I imagine Last of Us Part 2 will deliver on the story front. Now, gameplay, I'd like to see where they can go with it as well. Because like I said, that's what's so special about God of War, is that not only is it a very open-ended tale, but a very satisfying, engaging story throughout. But on top of that is the incredibly diverse gameplay that you can kind of bend to your will as you progress through it. And that those two things combined make it an unbelievable experience. And that's why I think why at least Preston and I believe it prevails beyond even The Last of Us. So that's a solid question, though. That would be tough, but I think I stand with Preston on this one, where I'd prefer the God of War continuation over The Last of Us. And that's not to say we're not excited.
Yeah.
But God of War for me as well. That
couldn't be farther from the truth.
What?
Us not being excited.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We are nearly pooping. It's like...
Nearly.
It's trying to creep out, but we're holding it in because obviously we have Spider-Man. We have Red Dead Redemption. Potentially Kingdom Hearts at the end of the year for Jacob and I here. Many more games leading up to The Last of Us Part 2. So it's hanging
in
on.
In other
there,
words, there's like, a line to wait.
Yeah, we're not ready to dump quite yet.
Yeah. We got to get through there's other people, other games in the way.
Now at E3, that might change. We may squeeze out a little dingleberry or two. But we're going to hope we can hold it in until then.
This is the best analogy we've ever had.
Always has to do with poop and video game excitement for some reason.
They go hand in hand.
They do. Chief Beef says, "Hey guys, it's been a while. Hope you're all having a great day. What are some of your best non-spoiler tips for combat in God of War, aka Dad of Boy? Love the show as always. Makes the daily commute to work so much better." Chief Beef, we greatly appreciate you tuning in. And I will default to Preston to talk about combat, if you'd like.
Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. Use your XP. Upgrade your stuff.
Next question.
Pretty much, just don't sit on XP. Get as many moves as you can, especially the after you dodge the follow-up attacks to that. I think those are very important to attack seamlessly after you dodge without any animation delay or whatever.
Yeah,
but yeah, especially upgrade your equipment as well. It's just going to make it a lot easier on yourself. This game isn't on normal difficulty. It's not, the hardest thing on earth, but definitely is a challenge. And there can be some fairly hard combat scenarios, especially towards the end, which no spoilers, but I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. But I've seen a ton of people complaining that it is like, just raging about it on Twitter, saying they like hate the game now because of a combat scenario at the end.
Oh, I know what they're talking about. That was the only part of the game where I actually got pissed at it for a little bit.
I don't know. I didn't die one time.
I know what part we're talking about. I think I died maybe once, but
the only reason I don't want to spoil it, the only reason I did not enjoy it is because it's my own fault. I went in without a resurrection stone, and I also was not well versed in fighting a particular enemy at that point because I'd only fought them very briefly towards the beginning of the game. Yeah. So I had to literally memorize their move sets in order to defeat them. Now I didn't hate the moment, but I only got pissed at myself because I didn't go in prepared as prepared as I could have been.
That's kind of how I was too. Like, God, why didn't I do that better? Mm-hmm. Then I went back and just I did it. So
yeah.
And read the bestiary as well. It'll give you
little
tips for everything and how to efficiently, and effectively beat the enemies.
This one's kind of small, and you probably already know it, but any enemy with a shield, double tap L1. That takes care of that problem.
Yeah, once you unlock that move.
Once you unlock it.
Break blocks.
Oh, yeah, you got to unlock it. That's right.
If not, you can actually throw the axe behind them and call it back, and the axe will hit them in the back.
It'll hit them in the back.
Also a good tip.
Yes. But I think that's pretty much it. Parry, dodge at the right time. Duh.
Parrying's
that's pretty much it. Just don't sit in your XP. Upgrade your stuff. Carry your resurrection stone with you. And use the bestiary. And don't be greedy. Take the hits and be extra careful.
Yeah, safety is always priority number one.
I think those are some solid tips.
And use Atreus. Do not be afraid to use him, especially for airborne enemies. If they are winding up for an attack, just make sure Atreus takes them out. They'll typically drop to the floor.
Especially once you upgrade your shots more, as more of a stun effect.
Exactly. It'll kind of... stop an attack that's coming at you if you use those things, so don't be afraid to use him.
Really good for those, what are they, like, whatever those little witches that fly around. I always forget what they're called.
Well, it's essential for those, but
yeah.
use them with pretty much everything
otherwise.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. That's all I have to say.
Cool. Dexter Clark writes in and says, Preston slash Garrett, is there a reason you choose to play big AAA titles such as God of War in one or two sittings? Please don't take my question to be malicious by any means, and there is no right or wrong way to play games. I've just always been curious. When I play games that I've wanted that I've waited on for multiple years, I try to take my time with them. To me, it almost seems wasteful in a sense to play through a game that you've waited on for multiple years in just a few days. I try to get the most out of a game the first go-around. When I play a game a second time, I can't help but lose interest. I would also like Jacob's input on the question. From listening to the previous podcast, it seems like he'd rather take his time with a game versus burning through the game in a few days. I will start on this one. As hard as this may be to believe, God of War is the fastest I've beaten a AAA game in at least a year.
you have an excuse, though.
I do. I was playing it for, like I said, COD Connected, purely for the video walkthrough that they wanted to put on the website and their YouTube channel. And I actually beat the game over the course of about a week and a half. I beat it right before the embargo lifted for review. So I played it over a period of like 10 days, I think. So it took me a while. But Preston, I want to speak for you, but I'll let you continue on this. But Preston in particular played it because he just wanted to avoid spoilers. And I totally get that because I was amazed at how many spoilers leaked even before the game was released. So
I've never
Preston purely wanted to just get through it to where he wanted to avoid spoilers. But Preston, I'll let you just go on and say, like you've mentioned, you've continued to get every bit out of it that you can beyond just getting through the story. So it isn't like you blew through it and haven't enjoyed it beyond the story, right?
Yeah, that's because I blow through a game. At least to me, that I'm having a blast doing it. It's not like I'm wasting it.
yeah, that's it's just not like kinda, you're playing through it so quickly that you're like skipping things or like not listening to what's happening.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. I would never, especially a game I've been waiting for so long, like God of War. Now, that's the thing is, I don't think that even if I had an entire week, I wouldn't have played it the way that I played it. I was infatuated with God of War. I didn't want to not be, you know, I didn't want to stop playing it. So I think regardless of me wanting to, you know, even if I lived in an echo chamber without any spoilers, I feel like I would have probably beaten it in the same amount of time.
If you think about it, technically speaking, you spent 25 plus hours beating the game, whereas other people may spend a very similar amount of hours beating it just over the course of a couple of weeks. When it all adds up, they spent the same amount of time playing it. Yours was just done in a few sittings versus several.
Yeah, so. No, exactly. And I'm glad I did it. If I wouldn't have beaten the game in the time that I beat it, I still wouldn't have beaten it by now. I had no time last week. And based on, you know, me going on YouTube, and I can't completely just cut out social media and YouTube and stuff. I'd go mad over the week, especially YouTube. I listen to so many podcasts, and I, you know, watch videos while I'm driving or even while I'm working, doing, you know, boring things. I like to listen to stuff while I work, and I would have been spoiled like several times just by going on YouTube. So I'm glad I beat it in the time I beat it. I mean, same thing with Horizon. I had like 2 weeks off to play Horizon, and I platinumed it in 3 days just because I could not stop playing it. And I had an absolute blast doing so, just like I did with God of War. So I think it's the same thing with food as well. I don't really sit down and savor food. I kind of just go crazy at it just because that's how I like to enjoy things that I like. I guess I just like to just take care of it.
Yes.
So that's kind of
thank you for your question, Dexter.
Wait, didn't he?
Yes.
Did he say he wanted me to do something?
Oh yeah. How do you feel about all this?
Oh, I mean, I think I made it clear on the last podcast. I think that's kind of how I am too. Not like comparing to you guys, but compared to Dexter, I kind of just enjoy things slowly and, you know, at my own pace. I kind of have like a specific time that I play games every day, and it's usually at night. And usually at night, I have maybe 3-4 hours, give or take, depending on what I'm doing that day or what's going on, to play games. And, you know, having that said, like, I don't work through things very quickly if I only have that short amount of time to get through things. So, And then, like, even comparing to what Preston said, like, food. Like, I like to sit down and watch a show, and I'll watch the whole show and make my food kind of last the whole show. I just kind of like to make things last, if that makes sense.
I feel you.
So, that's my personality. So, yeah, nothing wrong with how anyone consumes content or, you know, what they get out of it.
Yeah, just to enjoy things it's the way
your property,
Yeah, you enjoy them.
Moving on.
That's a good question, though.
It was, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Ronick says, do you think COD potentially having no campaign will hurt sales or increase sales? And also, will the introduction of Battle Royale be too late for them to cash in on?
No,
in terms
that.
Of sales, it's kind of up in the air, because even though they are releasing before Red Dead, there are still those that will still wait on Red Dead, I imagine, over Call of Duty. And then again, there is the massive popularity of Call of Duty that it will probably sell regardless of the campaign. I know there are those out there who really enjoy the campaigns, but like we've discussed, in our shoes, didn't love Black Ops 3's campaign, so I'm not that enthusiastic about a Black Ops 4 campaign anyway. And I think Battle Royale is going to be the major selling point. It's going to be two things for Black Ops 4. One, the title alone, Black Ops 4, people love Black Ops. Beyond that, I think the setting of Black Ops 4 is going to be a big part of it, because people hated space, with the exception of us and a few others. But I don't know if people are going to be over the futuristic setting, if they continue with the future, if people will still enjoy that as much as they have in the past. I think the setting is going to be a big part of it. And lastly, I think Battle Royale is going to be a massive selling point, because even if we don't want to admit it, myself included, like I don't get super hyped up about Battle Royale modes from anyone these days, but I am still open to the idea of other developers trying it, specifically AAA developers like Call of Duty. That is arguably the biggest multiplayer franchise in the world, is Call of Duty. And I'd like to see how they can expand upon and add their own ideas to the most popular multiplayer mode on the market at the moment. So I think that's ultimately what's going to sell it is, one, the title, it's Call of Duty. Secondly, the setting, and beyond all that, Battle Royale. If they advertise it correctly and promote it right, and it actually seems to be awesome, I think that's going to really determine sales overall. That's just how I feel. How do you guys feel about it?
For me personally, trying to answer this question, I'd have to wait until the reveal, which is this month.
May 17th.
Will it be May when this podcast goes live?
It's May 17th.
August 30th, maybe. August.
There are 30 days in April, right?
I think so, April, yeah.
So, no, this release is on the last day of April. Unless there's a 31st in April I'm unaware of. I have no idea.
Still, I'll need to see kind of what the game's going to be, in a sense. Because if it's not going to have a campaign, I need to...
We're going
to
know in a couple weeks.
See the setting, like you were saying, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a couple weeks from now, we shall know. So, very exciting.
I think it could work without a campaign, though. I don't think that it's that essential of a part of Call of Duty anymore. Maybe it was at one point, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't enjoy Call of Duty like I used to, though, so I don't really...
When I
know
think
how
about
how
past Call of Duties, as much as I adore many of the campaigns, they didn't necessarily, I wouldn't say they made or broke the game for me, because I always engaged with the multiplayer far more than the campaign anyway. I always loved the campaigns in most of them, and I remember many of them, but that isn't really what kept me coming back to Call of Duty. It was always the multiplayer.
Right. Yeah.
So like I said, I'm totally open to the idea of this next Call of Duty not having a single player campaign. And again, this is technically still a rumor. It's not confirmed from Activision or Treyarch, so we will know in a couple of weeks.
I mean, whenever we were last speaking about it, it might have been last week on the podcast, but like, besides Infinite Warfare, I don't really consider most of them memorable. So maybe that's a good sign that they're not really essential.
You never played Modern Warfare 1 or 2's campaigns, though, right?
Right. Yeah. That's having that said, the caveat, I haven't played
even Black
most
Ops
of
1's campaign is awesome.
Yeah.
So. Preston, what are your thoughts on all this?
I think it'll sell fine. I think it'll be in the top three, at least this year, best-selling games. I don't think Battle Royale hype is going to end by the time that comes out. And I'm interested to see how the market will react to that. Just, you know, putting those two titans together, just Battle Royale with, you know, Call of Duty. I should be interested to see the reaction to it. Yeah. I don't think the sales are going to drop off, you know, dramatically.
So I have a community question from yours truly. So kind of speaking on what we just said, what do you think the top three selling games this year will be?
Red Dead.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Spider-Man, maybe?
Probably. I think Spider-Man may outsell God of War.
You think a PS4 exclusive could, you know, crack it?
I want to say Spider-Man, Red Dead, and God of War, or not God of War, Call of Duty. But I don't know, man. I think an underdog would be Battlefield, especially if it's World War II and they also have Battle Royale. And that's going to be a strong contender, too. Yeah. I don't think it'll outsell Call of Duty, but I think that'll be up there.
What if Bethesda drops their new project at E3 and it comes out this year, kind of like
that? Yeah, especially that'll obviously be multi-platform. So I think I think post E3 we'll be able to predict all of that pretty closely.
Yeah, definitely. So top three has got to be Red Dead, Call of Duty. I'm not sure what three is going to be, but I right. would be yeah. confident saying that.
Maybe Smash Bros. Maybe.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's a big one. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot more PS4 and Xboxes out there than Switches, though.
Yeah, but Switch, man, is not far behind. You hear about the 18 million sold.
Mario Odyssey sold like over 10 million copies already.
Yeah,
that's so insane. Like the attach rate of like Mario and Zelda mm-hmm. to the Switch.
Yeah, Switch is a monster, dude.
It is
so cool.
Oh, I'm super pumped for Tropical Freeze. I think it's coming out the end of this week.
Donkey Kong game.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm gonna pick it up.
I'm excited for that Mario Tennis, personally.
Oh, summer.
I may pick up Tropical Freeze, because I haven't played my Switch in a while. I've let Casey play Stardew Valley till her eyes bleed for like a month.
I think I was looking at your profile on the Switch, and like I think the most played you have is Stardew Valley.
Yeah, that's
like
all
150
Casey.
Hours.
Yeah, it's all Casey.
Holy crap. She's played it that much?
She is a master farmer in that game. I mean, she surprised me, dude. She's the kind of Stardew Valley player where she's like on wikis. Researching how to have the best farm and stuff.
That's awesome.
You're blowing my mind right now.
Well, she's always like games like The Sims, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that game kind of fits that kind of fold.
Yeah.
It kind of
scratches
like
that same itch.
Style, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a different kind of rash, Stardew Valley, but she's scratching that itch with it. So, the Switch is cool. Jordan Hodgson says, I hope this isn't. Oh, there's one guy who didn't want me to use his name. I hope it wasn't Jordan. Jordan, if it was. His name's not Jordan. If it was this one, I apologize.
It is.
His name's Bill. It may be a different person, though. I apologize. Jordan says, hey there, sexy boys. My gamer tag is Mr. Overlord Sir. I'm constantly getting comments on my name. Have any of you had a similar experience?
Wait, is the sir a part of it?
Mr. Overlord Sir, I think so.
Okay.
There was no punctuation in this question, so I added punctuation to make it make a little more sense. He says, I'm constantly getting comments on my name. Have any of you had a similar experience? P.S. I'm from Australia.
The only time I ever get references on, like, for PlayStation, my name is Lost in the Echo. Someone's gonna be like, oh, that's a Linkin Park song, right? I'll be like, yeah, someone new.
Nice.
But, and also people like, I play Overwatch a lot. Words out, no one knew I play a lot of Overwatch. But sometimes people are like, oh, Al Capone, that's a clever name. I'll be
it
like,
is
yes,
clever.
I know, thank you.
But people don't know that's your last name,
no,
though.
No.
So it's even more clever when they know who you are.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
They never do. Because I'm a nobody.
I haven't gotten a reaction to any of my gamer tags in particular, but I know Preston's reaction to John Poobah when we first got PS4 and that girl was streaming on PS4.
Oh, that was so funny.
And Preston, I can't remember what you were saying to her, but when
I
she
think
finally,
it was might have been a little kid. I don't know if it
oh,
was
we
a
just
girl.
Kept saying like Poobah, the name's Poobah,
nah,
Poobah
it was
Jones.
It was a girl.
Was it a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, Poobah? Who's Poobah? You're like, Poobah Jones. The name's John Poobah, Poobah Jones. We just kept saying that over and over and over again, and her reaction was hilarious.
Yeah. I think that's probably the first stream I actually ever watched in my life, too.
I think it was one of the first for me as well. That was a big Poobah. Advertisement at the start of PS4. You could stream to Twitch or Ustream at the time.
Yeah.
So.
What is Ustream?
It's a failed streaming service.
Failed? Is
I'm
it
pretty
gone?
Sure it's gone. Or at least it's just no one's on there anymore.
How do you compete like with Twitch? It's like even
Twitch
YouTube
is only growing
to do it
by the day. It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Like,
and bigger.
What's that Microsoft owned one? I forgot what it's called.
A Mixer, I think.
Yeah, Mixer.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Microsoft will continue to keep pushing Mixer.
Maybe.
Yeah, they will.
Big finale. from Allison Broughton.
Is this the person that didn't want their name written?
No, it's not Allison. Allison says, my husband isn't much of a gamer, although I have persuaded him to play Little Big Planet 3 with me a couple of times and he seemed to enjoy it. What other co-op games would you guys suggest we try? I have a PS4 and have been having a difficult time finding couch co-op games that we can play together. Curious about your recommendations. Oh, yeah, she says, thanks for putting in the time and effort to entertain us each week. Sending good vibes to you. Thank you for the vibes. Hit us right in the feels.
Yeah, so many good feels from that.
How many organic co-op titles can we come up with here for Allison and her husband?
If they liked Little Big Planet 3, then maybe Dreams coming out would intrigue them. I don't know a whole lot about Dreams, though.
No.
Maybe Rayman Legends. That's free this month on PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, Pick up Rayman Legends for free, definitely. That's perfect timing.
What else? What was that game that we played when you first got your PS4? It was a co-op game.
Towerfall.
What was that game called?
Legends or something?
It wasn't Towerfall.
What was it called?
No.
You know what we're talking about, Preston? The little 3D side-scroller we played?
Oh, Trine.
I think it was Trine 3 we played.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a good game, but
it was fun.
Playing it.
It was kind of cool. It's kind of little platforming puzzles and stuff in it.
I'd try A Way Out. It's pretty cool. I think that might be something if he's not into video games, just kind of like a more of a cinematic based.
Maybe.
I've heard A Way Out is an awesome game for couples to play together.
Yeah. Maybe Until Dawn might be something enjoyable to just interact with.
Yeah, Until Dawn's a great one.
That's good.
That's on PS4 though. I don't know if you're playing on PS4. I mean, Little Big Planet.
Yeah, she's on PS4.
Well, Little Big Planet 3 was PS3, right?
I think we've suggested some good ones. Rayman Legends, it's free this month. Definitely try that one.
Not Doom, gosh.
Doom.
Not Doom. Diablo. Diablo's great.
Yeah, Diablo, yeah. But she also said he doesn't like video games. And Diablo, I feel like you kind of have to have a knack for video games to play that one.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I recommend then A Way Out. I think that's a really cool introduction to video games.
Top three,
with
I would say.
Being more cinematic. That and like Until Dawn. Just a game like that will kind of pique the interest of somebody that, you know, like I said, hasn't played any games.
Yeah. Way Out, Until Dawn, and since it's free, pick up Rayman Legends. That one's pretty fun.
Yes. It's a good list.
It's a little more gamey than the other ones, though.
That is it for community questions this week, boys. I got to go all the way back to Atlanta.
Oh, no! Oh,
safe travels.
Preston gets to go see Avengers. I'm very jealous.
I know. I'm excited. I'm going to get a big beverage, some popcorn, some goobers, and have a grand
what
old time.
Goobers?
Little chocolate balls, right?
Chocolate-covered peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Some goobers.
Sounds
my
like
favorite,
a good time.
My favorite cool. candy, man.
Then if That's I, your favorite candy?
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's better than, Skittles?
Yeah, I don't fuck
don't
with say Skittles,
it.
Bro.
Don't
I
say
don't,
it.
I don't.
I'm That's a Twizzler man myself. Best. I'm all about the Twizzlers.
You can't just have one Skittle, dude.
I'm a chocolate guy. I'd rather have chocolate than other types of candies. Well, if I have to venture into a realm beyond chocolate, I'm all about them Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, pretty good. Good one, too. I like Whoppers a lot.
Whoppers are good. Whoppers for like the first few that I have, and I'm sick of them. They're so chocolatey.
You know what I hate? Milk Duds.
Yes.
My dad loves Milk Duds.
Amen. They're good.
They taste good, but they get
They're
stuck in your
sticky,
teeth for 8 days.
Yeah. It's not a great experience.
I probably still have chocolate in my teeth from Milk Duds I ate 20 years ago. So they're no joke.
Boy, man. This is mold.
It's like eating tar, like really yummy tar.
Dude,
is what it's
if
like.
If y'all want to
go to the dentist office,
if y'all want a pro tip right now, none of y'all are ever going to do this. So my only hope is for somebody out there listening to me to do this. Get a small popcorn.
Don't do it.
A box of goobers. Pour the goobers into the popcorn. Incredible.
I've heard people doing this kind of stuff before.
So good. Have that buttery, salty popcorn with the chocolate, the sweetness of the chocolate. Oh.
No, well, Preston, unlike you, I choose not to shit where I eat, pal. So we're not going to do that at this table. I love popcorn. I had a medium popcorn at 11:30 in the morning with Jacob at Avengers. Because I figured this was my mindset when I went into the theater. I was waiting on Jacob to arrive. I'm like, well, it's 11:15 in the morning. It's technically almost lunchtime. Yeah. And by the time we get out of here, it's going to be nearly 3 in the afternoon. And I won't have time to eat before work. So this is going to be my lunch.
Some places in the world, it's not morning. It's lunchtime.
Right. So I had a medium popcorn for breakfast. It was brunch. I had medium popcorn for brunch.
Yeah, it's a good brunch meal.
Yeah, it was yummy.
I had a water.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
But then I got a chicken sandwich after that.
Well, Garrett, since you got to go, do you want to sign us out here?
Me?
Or no, I meant me, but you know what I mean. Do you want to end the podcast? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, podcast is over. We greatly appreciate all you tuning in and sending us community questions. Please share your thoughts and anything we've discussed this week down below. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, as always, we will continue the conversation on Discord. Hopefully, I'll have time to play some games this week. I'd like to talk about video games with you as well.
That sounds great, man. Please, if you're listening to us anywhere besides youtube.com/SFVSGaming, please find us there and subscribe to the channel. Be sure to also leave us a review on the Apple podcasting app. Both of those things help us out tremendously. We would very, very much appreciate it. And unless you guys have anything else to sign off with, I think that'll do it.
Garrett Stahl.
I fell in love with a man named Jacob. He's wearing a Superman shirt today.
Keep going.
Superman shirt.
I called him Clark Kent when he walked into my home earlier. This is a terrible song, man.
It's really good. Okay. No need to stall anymore. I have some reviews to shout out. We got a lot this week. Four.
Dude!
All on iTunes, because that's what I'm checking. We got Joshua G. Scott said we were an excellent podcast, 5 stars.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you.
Willie Ann, not William, but Willie Ann 22. If you're a gamer, this podcast is for you, 5 stars.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ranger of Life, utterly fantastic, 5 stars.
Wow.
And I'm going to butcher this. Aphrodisiac, 14, 32, 33, 5. Amazing. 5 stars.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that.
It takes 5 seconds to do that, and it makes us smile so much. Don't you want to see us happy?
Seriously, that's so awesome.
Yeah, think about us.
We are very appreciative of that. Thank you so much for the reviews. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. If you've done that as well. If you have not done that, please do that as well. But I think that'll do it for episode 151 of the It's Obvious Game podcast. We will see you guys next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.